Hey, what's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I want to talk about the existence or non-existence of a shark's threat display, including the so-called hunching and lowering of the pectoral fins. With threat display here, I mean, of course, against humans. Let's start with the simpler one of the two, lowered pectoral fins. In this posturing, the shark, as highlighted, lowers its pectoral fins right in front of a person. And it was the assumption that this behavior reflects a shark that is threatening the person it focuses on. Well, this is not the case. Big surprise, huh? There are at least two reasons why and when a shark would lower its pectorals. It can do it very quickly when then it is called pectoral burst. When doing so, one of the two pectorals is slightly twisted when it is lowered to guide the shark into the wanted direction. And since it's a burst, it happens very, very quickly. So a shark can really twist, nail at the same spot around its axle and direct its body into another direction. That a shark does that only when being in close proximity to a person is not surprising, since only reduced escape routes would trigger such. The second form of lowering pectoral fins is when a shark swims with them actually in a fully lowered state. This enhances then the maneuverability through an increased lateral surface. Here as well, it is done when being close to a person, otherwise increased maneuverability is not needed. Except, of course, we see it among sharks, of course, when they get in each other's way. But with regards to humans, it always has to be very close to human beings. Lowering pectorals, or lowered ones, got a lot of attention in media in the last few years, but were always, I repeat, always misinterpreted. You may not ask why I'm so sure. Well, observation and then ask the right questions. This raises the question, of course, why and how could this happen? I mean, why was it always thought to be a threat display? One reason, and probably the main one, is that no one bothered to question it because science seemed infallible. So when the paper came out, it was in 1974, it just made sense. But it actually made no sense, never ever, at least in my world. Should a shark indeed threaten a person, it would not swim off but maintain close contact so that the target, the person, would leave or at least withdraw. Well, then it would make sense, in a way like, get away from here. But in both cases, lowered pectorals or pectoral bursts, the behavior actually moves the shark away from the target. Oh, and this makes no sense. So this formally called threat display is actually more of a threatened display. Now let's look at hunching. The name says it, the shark arches his back. Well, I've seen hunching many times among sharks. Well, if they threaten each other, well, they hunch their backs. But I have never seen it against humans. The cause seems the same as above. To threat, that's what the initial assumption was. If I just use the term threat and imply that it means other sharks, well, I would agree, but not against humans. But if I go back into research, the initial paper where threat display was first described, it was seen against a human being. So, is it not true or not? No, it's not true. Of course, it could be that sharks, who by the way did not develop a special display against humans, just used it because there was no other display available. Well, why not? Such would actually make sense. But then I have to ask, why are there no other example of the same posturing scenes on YouTube, Vimeo, and all these sites? Every day, millions of people dive and encounter sharks. Wouldn't it then be very, very likely that someone, at least someone, really filmed the exact same display with gray reef sharks as well? That was the initial species, or any other species, and as it was shown in the scientific paper? Of course. So this begs the question, why it has not been seen again? The most likely answer is that it may not be a threat display at all, not even against other sharks. Why am I saying this? Because I have seen this similar threat display many times in another context. This context was that a shark had a shark sucker attached for example, on its lateral line system. So the shark is irritated. Now, sometimes a shark just chafes it off on the bottom or jumps out of water and falls back with that very spot onto the surface. But sometimes the bottom is too far off, surface not near enough, and now the shark tries to get rid of it by either pushing the skin together right where the shark was attached to, or then pull the skin at that very spot for the same reason. Since the shark cannot just lay down when doing that and has to move forward, the actual motion then looks very odd. And again, looks like the video clip that was first used to describe the original behavior. I did a paper on shark sucker influenced behavior patterns, and in there I describe a posturing called wiggle. If you look at my paper and you use the wiggle that have six pictures in it, and then you compare it to the two pictures, or at least one of them, in the initial paper in 1974, you will see that these pictures look nearly identical. So, what's wrong here? I dare to say that the initial description of the so-called threat display was actually a shark sucker-induced posturing. And funny, but really true, on both pictures that illustrated the publication of 1974, we can see shark suckers attached to the respective bodies. So before I finish the show, I'd like to briefly talk about threat displays and its development. A behavior is created due to an urge, a need, a situation, and such. The learned behavior is from then on available to the very specimen should the urge, etc., occur again. Although in this case the shark can use it, its offspring would still have to learn it as well. So, meaning there would not be an offspring that would get into the same situation and actually would then have this posturing available. I'm not sure how many generations it would take until behavior is inherited, meaning that the behavior does not have to be learned anymore, but the shark is born with it. But it likely takes a long, long time, and considering that the shark generation takes at least 10 to 12 years, now we just found out white sharks take 25 years, we talk hundreds of years, or probably even thousands of years, until behavior is inherited, or likely even longer. So, should this be the case, then so many generations are needed. So, when would sharks have learned to threaten a person? Or differently put, when did it start that humans were unwillingly interacting with sharks? And, of course, it would need to happen over and over. So, when was that? I mean, it can't be divers because we're just diving for 70, 80 years. So, something is off here. I guess you see where I'm going with this. And it gets even more unlikely. The behavior where it was first shown with gray reef sharks took place in a very remote area, and human contact was rather slim, even at its best. So these sharks would have had to be exposed to humans hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So something is off. I gave you some ideas that speak against the so often mentioned threat display. So you make up your own mind, but I'm not wrong here. My take on it is that there must be threat displays out there that are used against members of the same or similar species, but sharks did not develop a novel display just for us. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.